Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast. See what the guys have to say on Cougar Board. Find them at 4Mac and CougarCast. Go hard, go fast.
Greetings. My name is Keith Schertz, and I am here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh, and we're here to talk about the clash that occurs in Austin, Texas, with a bunch of terrified Longhorn fans. You keep reading stuff out there coming out of Austin, and they're scared, man.
Well, it's two extremes. I think there is a percentage of their fan bases that are scared. I think there's the other percentage that is just still overlooks us and disrespects us. I feel like there's no middle ground among the Longhorn fans.
Well, whatever the case is, BYU is 3-1 all time against the Longhorns. This is their fifth encounter, and I think it should be a really, really interesting game. Really excited about it. And George, when we talked to Andrew George several weeks back now, he said that this was probably the game that was circled on the calendar for the BYU coaches, and we know that it's been circled on the calendar for the Texas Longhorn coaches.
Yeah, it's a big game for both teams. Really, it's a prove who belongs this year, and who doesn't. I really feel like for both teams, there's a lot riding on this game, and I would even say it's hard to choose which one more, but maybe even Texas has more riding on it with the new coaching staff, with all the bravado that's been said about BYU.
Yeah.
During their media day and et cetera.
Well, it's a huge meltdown for Texas if they don't happen to get this game. On the other hand, if BYU doesn't get this game, again, it gets into that whole discussion as an independent. Once you lose a game, what are we playing for at that point? We're going to get to 6 wins this year. We're always going to get to 6 wins because Tom Holmoe's going to schedule 6 wins. So it's really, and if BYU wants even to try to create at least the conversation a sniff at this playoff, they've got to win, right? So
yeah, and you hit a point there. If we win this game, I think BYU fans collectively, all of a sudden their excitement and their hopes just go to another level. Like, that's what's riding on this game for BYU, is just that all of a sudden people really start dreaming about what this season could turn into.
And in our CougarCast season preview, you said that you thought that the BYU Cougars would be ranked in the top 20 if they happen to get by Texas in this game. You still feel that way? Texas is not a ranked team.
Well, 25 in one poll. But, yeah, I think that BYU could squeak into the top 25 if they win this game. But, probably not top 20.
But you agree with me, right? Things get really fun when BYU's in the top 20. That's
totally.
That's where we're kind of reaching above our register at that point. Okay, both teams coming off a win. BYU, obviously, 35-10 over UConn. Great road win there. Any quick impressions on that?
The big one for me was depth. It looked like BYU had more depth at their secondary, especially considering the guys out. Running back, receiver, O-line. That was no group just jumped out at me, except it seemed like we have a lot more depth at a lot of groups than I expected.
Okay, well, so that's an increase in depth. That's a big indication of some people might try to attribute that to independence. I just think it's an indication of better recruiting.
Yeah.
I like to take it more obviously. Texas comes off 38-7 against the North Texas Mean Green. I had a chance to watch kind of the condensed version of this game that they showed on the Longhorn Network.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting. They had sort of the same thing happen to them that BYU did. Slow third quarter, kind of had a struggle throughout the second half. They kind of, both teams, both BYU and Texas, I felt like were keeping the cards close in order to get ready for the game that comes up on this Saturday. Real quick, wanted to cover, if you want to watch BYU at Texas, and you do because it was even referred to by the Texas beat writer as a pseudo rivalry game.
No, really?
Yes.
That's cool.
Isn't that interesting? Anyway, if you want to check that game out, you want to do it, of course, Saturday, 7:30 Eastern Time, 5:30 Mountain, Fox Sports 1. Fox Sports 1 is channel 150 on Dish Network, 219 on DirecTV, and 204 on Provo's Google Fiber.
You know where else Google Fiber is?
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas. So oh, maybe that's goodness. What this rivalry is based on.
I mean,
on.
This is maybe the whole thing. Yeah, and we have real beef with whatever schools in Kansas City, too. All right, well, let's get into the Texas Longhorns. Let's figure out who they are. Of course, the big news this week, David Ash will not be the starting quarterback for the Longhorns.
Yep. A guy that could maybe compete with me for name of the year, Tyrone Swoops, yeah, is
great name.
Stepping in. Really a totally different player. Ash is just a lot more experienced. He has a lot more game time. And when I say they're totally different, I guess, but they have similarities too.
No, body type wise, though. I mean, this guy is what? Swoops, who BYU will face, he's like 6'5", 241.
Yeah.
Big guy.
Yeah, I mean, and then, but he, I what I would classify him, I've watched every snap of his from last year, read a lot about his high school days.
There's a great YouTube video out there.
Yeah, that's just pretty, 7 minutes watching every snap from last year. That he's a more comfortable runner than he is passer, but he's an adequate passer. I'm not someone that really breaks down someone's throwing motion, but anyone watching his, you can see that it's a little bit slower than a typical D1 quarterback.
They keep saying he brings the ball low. So again, that's another thing where if you can get a little heat on him, get those hands up there, you might be able to force a fumble. Anyway.
But yeah, he's what I would say, he's agile for his size.
Oh, yeah.
He's not particularly blazing fast.
Yeah.
A lot of people act like he's a speedster, but according to ESPN on his recruiting thing, he ran a 4.77, so really a 4.840, which for a 6'5", 250 guy is fast. But David Ash was faster than that.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he's going to be adequate in multiple areas and a beast of a man size-wise. But to me,
he seems like a game speed guy, though.
Yeah. I agree.
Does that make sense? Like,
I think that he accelerates quickly.
Yeah.
And from watching his film. To me, it doesn't really change. A lot of BYU fans were in uproar when Hal said that this doesn't change their game plan. But to me, he really is a lot. It doesn't really change it that much to me.
I think it does change the game plan in some ways. But it changes Texas's game plan.
Yeah, they're going to – well, that Texas's strength with or without Swoops was their running backs.
Well, and that's the point. We don't need to really go into – because Swoops doesn't have to have a great game, right, in order for Texas to win.
No. He's got just two horses to hand the ball off to.
Absolutely. Malcolm Brown is the they always say thunder and lightning with these guys. But if you were to classify that generalization, Malcolm Brown is their thunder option. And then Jonathan Gray is their lightning. He's fast.
Yeah. But they both break off long runs, score a lot of touchdowns. Their game plan, I think, always has been that they're going to just try to run it down our throats. And that's their strength, is their running backs. They've got some – their receivers, they have some talented, experienced receivers.
John Harris looks like a really dangerous receiver.
And then
he's big guy.
Shipley has always been a really fundamentally sound, runs good routes. I think the change in quarterback –
he's an insanely rich man's J.D. Falslev.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that it's – I think the biggest person hurt by the quarterback change, though, is Shipley. He seems like he's very much a timing – pay attention to detail. Him having a different quarterback and throwing off that timing and that chemistry, I think actually hurts him more than any other player.
But I don't think Shipley is the guy you need to worry about here. It's John Harris. That John Harris, he's a big receiver, man, and he's quick. But he really very tall, and I think we'll look to try to get Mike Davis on him. That'll be favorable. On the other side, returning Rob Daniel, right? Rob Daniel is, how tall is he, like 6 foot flat?
Yeah, he's not short. I bet he's
not
six,
short, but 6 flat.
Maybe 6'1".
Okay, well, this Harris has got several inches on him and stuff, so I think that'll be a matchup problem, and I think we'll prefer having Mike Davis line up across Mr. John Harris for the Longhorn offense. The other thing of note with the Longhorn offense is they lost their center against North Texas, Dominic Espinosa, Dom.
Who was their only really experienced lineman coming into this season.
Yeah.
So that's a big loss.
It's a huge loss. He has a broken ankle. He won't be in the game. The offensive line that will start against BYU has a combined, if I can find my number, I believe the answer is 15 starts.
Yeah.
So combined 15 starts, now you've got a new center in there. And what sort of differences does that make to the Texas offense?
Well, some of the biggest ones is I think that the center, as he lines up, he reads the defense and makes adjustments, or you could even call them audibles in assignments of what kind of blocking scheme they're going to do. When you bring in this guy's a redshirt freshman, I think that it's going to make him – there's going to be a lot less adjustments. I think BYU will be able to theoretically confuse their line a lot better than if they would have had this experienced Espinosa in there.
Well, I was thinking about the word that they've been using for Espinosa is he was the anchor of that offensive line.
He was a four-year starter.
Yeah, he was an excellent player. The thing with Espinosa being gone as the anchor, right, if you don't have an anchor on a boat, what happens?
It just sails.
You drift. You go all over the place. And I just think that you've got a lot of inexperience around him, and I think if he truly was the anchor for those guys, that's a vulnerable offensive line, and that's huge. That's a big deal for BYU coming into this game. That certainly should hurt Malcolm Brown and Jonathan Gray's. Their bite has just gotten a little less dangerous.
Yep, agreed. And the biggest unknown to me about when I've been reading and watching about Texas and observing them last year even, is that their whole defensive unit to me is so Jekyll and Hyde that I don't know. They really have just games where they look great, and they have games where they just look horrible.
So I think they're good. I think the rule isn't what happened last year. I think, generally speaking, they're pretty good defense.
Well, time will tell. You know, we thought that going into the game last year, too, though, and then
BYU
wasn't the only one that exposed him.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think North Texas is terrible. I don't think that's a terrible team. They were a 9-win team last year. They went to a bowl game. Like, North Texas isn't awful. They're not great. Right,
but I think UConn would have beat him, but maybe that's Homer.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about that. It would be an interesting game. I think the main thing is that if you take a look at this Texas Longhorn defense, they certainly have the bodies. They all look like they're the real deal.
They look like NFL players.
These guys all look great. I'll tell you the thing that was frightening to me watching the quick, you know, when they showed the Texas game on the Longhorn Network, I was terrified of those interior defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Malcolm Brown, who has the same name as the running back, but their defensive tackle, that nose tackle, Malcolm Brown, he ruined so much of what was going on in that game. He absolutely ripped right through the middle of the defense, and that is a huge assignment. This guy's a big boy, 6'4", 320, looks quick, looks super strong. Good thing that our center is the strongest guy on our team across from him. Karoma has got a big challenge there as our second start for our center there, and I just think that Kersley, right, he's a guard, and those guards
Fousey
and centers,
and,
Edward
yeah.
Fousey, they've got to do the job. Because not just Malcolm Brown, Ridgeway was in there, and Jackson was in there, and they all of their interior defensive linemen, basically that was why the Mean Green offense didn't score a single point this last time out. And they couldn't possibly block those interior linemen. And if you can't block interior linemen, then you are absolutely toast. And I think that's where their talent is on this team. And there's a huge history of Texas interior linemen, you know.
Yeah.
Casey Hampton was great, and anyway, so they've had a lot of really great interior nose tackles. So that's the part of this game that I'll be watching immediately at the beginning, is to see how we handle Malcolm Brown and Ridgeway and Jackson there on their defensive front.
And that, I think, rolls us into that's what BYU needs to do in order to beat Texas, in my mind, is first off, our O-line needs to play somewhat close to how they did last year. against Texas, or and they had a good game against UConn too. And so last year, our O-line was the biggest headache of the season. But this year, it looks like they may have changed things around. But we've got to at least, I think, be neutral at the line of scrimmage. We can't get dominated. But if we are at least neutral at the line of scrimmage, Taysom is shifty enough, as we all know, that I think that he can slow down their pass rush. And that having Jamal back, I think what separates Jamal...
That helps. And I think Algernon Brown is a really good blocker as a running back.
Totally. Well. And Jamal is. But I was going to say...
Lasique as well.
Jamal makes the first guy miss. That's what... Watching last week's backs, that's what it made me think, is that Jamal always seems to make one guy miss. And
patient, fearless, tough. I mean, he's just... He's awesome. Jamal Williams. Great player. Yeah, I think that'll be really... I mean, the trenches... I mean, they always say this every game, right? It's one in the trenches.
Yeah.
Right? But I really think the one Texas unit that scares me is their defensive line. And I'm not super terrified of anything else that they have. Their running backs, like BYU, rarely gets super burned by running backs. And wide receivers are the part that make you scared as a BYU fan, generally speaking. But I'm not sure that Swoops is going to be able to be a huge threat there. Mm-hmm. He has arm enough to throw a deep ball here.
Yeah.
Texas looked deep several times throughout the game. I don't think that's going to change. I think they're going to go downfield several times against BYU. I think we'll get burned a few times on it. The big key is that we don't get burned and have it taken all the way to the house, because one thing about the Longhorns that I noticed is I don't think they're very good in the red zone.
Hmm. And BYU against UConn was great in the red zone. And so,
well, they were 2 for 3.
No. Other way.
You meant defensively. Yes.
Our defense, that it seemed like we stopped them multiple. I don't know the number, but it seems like we were great.
UConn had 5 visits to the red zone and only scored twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take that. And so, that's a good matchup thing. I haven't even really broke down is in the red zone.
One thing that we want, BYU fans, so one of the things that you hope new coaches, you know, they're trying to do what's right, but Jonathan Gray had it burn this huge run up the sideline on North Texas. They got inside the 5, right, and they didn't get in. Or they did get in on 4th down, but just barely got in. David Ash ran it in. But they kept this Jonathan Gray in and had him running on these short distances because they wanted to reward him for his big run.
Yeah.
And he
was gassed.
That you want Jonathan Gray when it's 3rd and short or goal line or something like this. By the way, their goal line sets looked really not great. Like, I really like BYU's chances if we get into a goal line.
That to me is indicative of their inexperienced O-line.
Yeah.
And they also, surprisingly, they have They have two guys calling their offensive plays.
Yeah,
I've never even heard of
that. That's really strange. But Malcolm Brown on goal line ran a lot better. So it's one of those things you want to pay attention to. Hopefully they're silly enough to leave Jonathan Gray in short yardage scenarios and not Malcolm Brown.
So here's my scenario that I think that this is how BYU wins. Is that my biggest thing is we need to score offensively, and I would even say score fast. Because here's what Texas is going to want to do. They're going to want to run it down our throats and really rely on their defense, keeping them in the game.
Are you sure down the throat? I actually think they might want to try to take the edges.
I don't know. I mean, they could, but I just think they're going to run it right at us.
I just feel like, here's the thing. Like, are we sure that Alani Fu is good at contain on runs on the outside?
He has the speed to be, so I would think so, but...
Are we sure?
Time will tell.
Are
Robertson
we sure?
Daniel, Robertson, I mean not Robertson Daniel, Michael Davis had to save some outside runs against UConn.
Are we sure that Bronson Kafusi can handle
Bronson
the edge?
Kafusi bit in multiple times against UConn.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, he gave up contain to try to make the play, and then the guy just bubbled out around him.
So listen, if I'm Texas, why are you trying to run up the middle? I think you can take the edge. And teams that have taken the edge on BYU doesn't have an answer to that, especially if you've got speed. And are we sure that Manoah Pakula and Jeremiah Lutea-Dier are we sure that we can cover the from sideline to sideline? We need to get the edges. That's the part that I'm worried about.
Last year, Texas tried to get – that's how they tried to beat us. They tried to run around the edge. And last year, we looked like – I was sitting in the stands just smiling, thinking, I love the RD – looks like they are so much more athletic than their O.
Right, but
I don't know if that's the same this year.
Well, that's the thing is we had KVN and we had another.
We had Spencer Hadley.
Spencer Hadley, who's an NFL player now, and we also had Daniel Sorensen, who's an NFL player now. Yeah. So it's like we and all those guys were involved with taking away the edge. But
Fua had an awesome. His game of the year in my mind was Texas.
Yeah, but that was because he was all over David Ash. They had him blitzing like a maniac.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
he hurt their running back, like, on their opening drive, too.
Right.
But
you understand what I'm saying.
Totally.
Are we sure they want to go up the gut?
No, and that's a good point.
I hope they go up the gut. I'd rather them test us there.
You know, I fear both. So I fear our run defense. I really do, because there's so many unknowns to me on our run defense. That's why I go back to the way that we're going to beat them is we got to score fast, score early. We can take an early lead. That, I think, takes their run game away.
Yeah.
And I feel more confident in our pass defense than I have in years. And so I would love, and especially with that is not Tyrone's strength. He is a more comfortable runner than he is passer.
Yep.
If we can make the game go to where they feel like they have to pass to keep up with us,
yep,
I think we run away with
it. So early lead is big. Early lead's big in every game. If you get an early lead, you know, you do great. But no, that was one of the big points against UConn. You know, a lot of people, there's been a lot of talk about Taysom Hill and his ability to throw downfield and maybe a receiver's inability to get open downfield. And, you know, Taysom had six of his design passes turn into scrambles. He had several opportunities to maybe look downfield, never chose to do it, and always went underneath to his running backs who had 11 catches. I just think that one of the things that we'll have to take a look at is if the game is a little bit closer and it's more of a shoot, not like shootout, but like closer game,
mm-hmm,
right? I think we are going to be forced to look downfield a little bit more. We didn't have to look downfield. We could play safe. We could check down all we wanted because we had a lead.
Yeah.
We were up 21 by almost the beginning of the second quarter. And so we could shut up shop.
You know, there's only so much we can take from last year's game. But if we do look at that, we never had any deep passes last year against him. Like,
no. No, but, in fact, it was struggling in the passing in that game.
Yeah. But this year, what I liked about UConn, and it gives me hope for this game and the season, is that a lot of receivers looked adequate. We really shared the ball around, and there was only one drop, and it wasn't – the receivers had zero drops. The only drop was Algernon Brown.
Yep.
So I feel like we will be able to toss the ball around and that we have the athletes and, yeah, to make them play honest, where I think beating them over the top is not – it is doable, I guess, was what I'm trying to say.
So there's the stigma about backup quarterbacks.
What do you think about
BYU? Well, listen, I think, has there been times when BYU has lost two backup quarterbacks? Yes. My brain goes, you know, TCU, the 51-50 game in 05.
The biggest one that fans aren't over is Ratliff.
Utah, Ratliff, right? Yeah. That one, right? There's been a few examples of backup quarterbacks taken to the Y. However, we were also worried about this a couple times last year, and it wasn't a problem.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Like, I think that's a really silly overreaction by BYU fans that we think that all coaches are keeping their best quarterback, you know, on the bench.
So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Tosh, was I wanted to talk a little bit about what sort of adjustments I think that the Texas offense is going to have to make because of the change in their quarterback. And we'll do that right after this.
BYU Hockey is coming to vanquish the foe. Follow the Cougars in their 2014-15 season as they're on the prowl at the Peaks Ice Arena. Listen to each home game live on Vanquish the Foe.
All right, and that's on VanquishTheFoe.com, by the way. If you're unsure what Vanquish the Foe is, it's VanquishTheFoe.com. You can check that out. Games, again, the first home game is against the Weber State University Wildcats. They'll be playing at Peaks Ice Arena, 7 o'clock on September the 20th. Okay, back to football. So here's the thing. I think that this game is a huge clash in styles.
Okay.
BYU, go hard, go fast. Everyone knows what they want to do. Texas, and what Charlie Strong wants to do with his team, is he wants to slow it down, be more deliberate, right, and control some of the clock. And this was one of the things that I thought was very big that nobody talked about. Everyone said, oh, BYU, you know, fell asleep for the third quarter and nothing happened. Well, they had two turnovers that were soft. I mean, as soft gets, right? Those fumbles were not forced.
Yeah, and they were on – I felt like they both – we had some momentum. We were right. We had plays that were working.
Exactly. And what ended up happening, though, is time of possession in the third quarter was super low. You know, BYU only had the ball a couple times during the third quarter. So it's not that they fell asleep, right? It's just that we couldn't get the ball back. You know, we let UConn get some sustained drives, and they went all the way down, and then they would fail in our red zone. But the point of that is that that's really effective way of slowing down the Cougars. You know, we only scored 7 points in the second half, and a lot of that had to do with the pace of play was dictated by the UConn Huskies in that second half, and also because BYU kind of shut up shop a little bit. But the thing that I wanted to get to is I think that Texas can effectively run, right, a little bit, enough to have some sustained drives. They're going to snap the ball late in the play clock. They don't want to have a ton of snaps to this to Swoops, right?
Correct.
So they're going to want to try to take the ball out of his hands as much as they can, really, you know, drain that clock down. And I think that that'll cause the game to slow down, and I don't think we're going to see a high-scoring output by the BYU team this time.
Unless they get up early. That's the changer there, is if BYU gets up early, then they couldn't do that. But I think that's easier said than done. I think you're right. That's what Texas is going to try to do.
Right, but and that's why that early lead is so important, like you talked about, is if you can force Texas to do things that they don't want to do,
yeah,
then we're in.
Then we're controlling that game.
And we're in business at that point. That'll be really nice. So one of the things, though, is Texas played this first game with a ton of two tight end sets, a lot of them. Like, they really want to play with those two tight ends for a lot of reasons, right? It opens up what Gray and Brown can do from the backfield. Right, tight ends block better than receivers. You control the line of scrimmage a lot more when you have 7 blockers out there instead of just the 5. You can't play 2 tight ends and expect Tyrone Swoops to run. It clogs up that line of scrimmage area. You have to have space. So now what their normal, comfortable personnel that they've been practicing with all year, all fall, right, trying to get ready with this two tight ends. That was their preferred set. That's gone. They got to have a third wide receiver out there. You can go with 1 tight end. But beyond that, I think that that really changes the way that they're going to have to approach this thing. And also, Ash took a lot of snaps from under center, and I don't think we're going to see Swoops get under center at all unless it's a QB sneak. And since he's so huge, they're going to convert QB sneaks, yeah, with Tyrone Swoops.
Yeah, he had 1 touchdown last year. It was just a QB sneak for a yard. You know?
So I think that this changes their identity a lot. I think that this changes what they like doing and what they want to do a fair bit. And I do think that this getting rid of more of their blockers and because they're going to have to create more space. Like, do you agree with me on that? They can't play 2 tight ends.
So, I mean,
you can't do read option.
They can do read option, but I just.
But that's what we think that Swoops is going to be doing back there, right?
I could possibly see them, and he did a few snaps like this where he's almost just like a running back who got a direct snap.
Right.
That if they did 2 tight ends, they could still do that where he gets direct snaps and he's just looking for the hole.
Yeah, so, but if they have 2 tight ends and he's in shotgun, you're either declaring draw, right? Or a quick, like, off tackle, right, from the shotgun, or you're passing at that point.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, okay, a run between the tackles, or we're passing at this point, right? They can't do that. You can't make it that easy on this BYU defense.
Now, I think it's,
if they do that, they're in trouble, right?
Yeah. Now, I don't see him running it too much, but I mean, that makes about as much sense as the diamond formation we ran over and over last year, and we did that. So I think sometimes coaches still try to force things, but we'll see.
Well, if they try to make Tyrone Swoops beat David Ash, I'm loving this game.
Yeah.
One of the big things, too, that I also think, and this is the biggest part of missing David Ash, because you and I, like, was any BYU fan afraid of David Ash?
No.
Like, when you heard he was hurt, were you like, oh, great, our chances just got better?
No.
Maybe slightly.
Yeah, I guess I would say, because this guy's unknown, but I feel like, I mean, we beat David Ash last year, and even Texas fans weren't super stoked with David Ash, right? You know? Like, he's not a world beater.
The biggest difference is between Ash and Swoops is that Ash could at least make audibles.
Yeah.
He would read things, make changes to the plays, make quick reads, right? Like, are we sure Swoops isn't doing this, right?
No, they're not going to have him.
So now it becomes imperative that their offensive coordinator just nails it, right? And Nick Howell, this is where Nick Howell can really cause some havoc. Is if he can go out of his way to put them in spots where they're really uncomfortable, and he doesn't see things that he ought to see, and that David Ash as an experienced quarterback would have seen.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, right? I mean, that's a huge advantage for BYU.
Yeah, agreed. I totally agree. And I think that my guess is they're underestimating how good our secondary is. Part of me thinks that they might be overthinking that we don't expect him to pass and that they come out and actually try to pass with Swoops. But if they do that, I think that's how the game gets out of hand for him. I think our secondary, if we can get them to pass by forcing them, or if they try to surprise us by passing, I really like our odds.
Do you think we'll have an interception?
Yes. I think we'll have multiple.
How many passes is Tyrone Swoops going to take?
That's the real question. And I could see it being like in the teens. That could be a game plan that I could easily, from the remarks that I've heard from Charlie Strong, I get the sense that might be their game plan going into this game, is run, 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 and maybe something like 15 passing attempts for Swoops.
Okay. So how do we feel, Texas offense versus BYU defense? We like BYU's defense in that, right?
I would say
we feel okay.
I'm going to go draw. I think that's about even.
Okay. Let's go to the other side of the ball. You want some fun stats about Texas defense?
Yeah.
They've scored more points this season than they've allowed. That's kind of a fun stat.
That is crazy.
They got a defensive touchdown, pick six. And they didn't give up any points. Actually, the Texas O fumbled in the end zone, was recovered by North Texas. How about one more? They have more. The Texas defense has caught more passes than their opponents have. Does that make sense? So they had four picks this last game, and North Texas only caught three passes.
That's crazy.
That's a fun stat, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so. They had an awesome game. They were swarming. They were physical. They looked aggressive. You know, Jordan Hicks, he played against BYU last year, but when he got hurt for them, it really hurt them last year. He's back. I think Jordan Hicks very good. I think their interior linemen were great. How are we feeling about this Texas D against the BYU offense?
See, this is where I think
strength versus strength.
I think this is where we've got to win. And I give the slight edge to BYU in that – I think scheme, and a lot of that comes down to scheme. That these guys were in year two of Go Fast, Go Hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think Anai has a lot more tools at his disposal.
Well, you remember Andrew George, again, huge revelation that really they only focused on installing the run game. This year, now they've also installed, so now they've got the run, but they've also installed a pass game. That's huge.
I agree. And I think that's what gives us the slight edge, is because their D, although having a lot of athletes, they're doing a new scheme, and what really puts a scheme to the test is not Northern Texas's offense, but is BYU's offense. And so that's where I give us the edge, that I think that our pace, our amount of different ways we can hurt them this year. We've got a lot of athletes that I love to see the ball in their hands. That's why I give us the slight edge of our O being better than their D.
Okay. Oh, so Tosh just sounded optimistic. So one of the things that I think that I think that the offensive line, I think that we still have to question how good our offensive line is. I think there's going to be a real test there as well. So I do think we're going to learn. This is going to be the game where we really learn.
What's worth noting is last year our run blocking looked incredible against Texas.
Right.
Our pass blocking, not so much.
Right.
This game in the UConn game, it was the opposite. That our run blocking was bad, was I think below average, but our pass blocking was well above average. And so it's just that is, again, we're going full circle to the beginning. I think that how our O needs to at least play neutral with their D line. It'll be interesting to see what O line of ours shows up.
Well, it'll be interesting, and Taysom Hill is going to have a very nice game. He looked very comfortable in the pocket against UConn. He looked a little less comfortable outside of the pocket. And again, the one of the stats that I've talked to you about previously, but is that, you know, he didn't throw downfield very often. The ball only traveled over 10 yards, only a few times. Against UConn, 13 times he had passes that went over 10 yards. He completed 8 of those passes. Included in that number is 2 balls that were thrown away, right? So he did very well when he was throwing downfield, right? And he tended to throw to either the short, like swing, or cross routes. So those short routes, like he was nailing all those. But when he looked downfield, generally it was either a scramble grill. Oh my gosh, I'm hungry. But it's a scramble drill for a wide receiver. You know, he's out of the pocket now and just find space. And they did a nice job there. Colby Pearson and Taryn Helk did a nice job on that. But generally speaking, he was hitting people when they were stationary on hitch routes and things like that. And so
the big observation to me is this is a funny thing to say just as a fan observer, but it really looked like the game had kind of slowed down for him.
Sure.
And that he was really going through his reads, that even when he was scrambling, that he was much improved compared to last year at looking downfield and not just going pass, 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 pass. Oh, run.
Right.
Like he was just reading what the defense was giving him.
His eye level, that's the way that watching too much Ron Jaworski. But his eye level really was good. It was downfield. He continued to look downfield, and that's huge. I mean, that's really big. And he was, an effective runner once again. And so I just think, what are your expectations? What's the worst that Taysom can do and have BYU be in with a shot?
He needs to play good. I mean, I think that he has to at least complete 50%.
Yeah.
I mean, the way you ask the question is, what's the worst? I think he has to at least do 50% and have
equal. I don't think he was 50% last year.
Yeah, but I think our offense is different this year. He's not going to rush for 270 or something, you know?
Right.
And I think he has to have as many touchdowns as he does picks, passing.
Okay.
That's, to me, the worst. Because I think run-wise, he's going to do fine. Like, he's a talented runner. The guy is a machine, a tank.
One of the things I thought was interesting is they only designed 6 runs for Taysom. So he had 12 rushes last week. But only 6 times where is it like a designed run.
Which I'm fine with that. I don't think
we need to. No, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Because you don't want him to get hurt.
Yeah, and he's going to get more runs than you call for him anyway. That's just his playing style. And so we don't need to call that many plays that are designed for him to run. Let's just call pass plays with it. He has the option that if it's there, he'll run.
But when Taysom runs, it's a nice play. 8.1 yards per carry.
And he in the UConn game and all year last year, 3rd and 4th down, it's just like, Taysom run time.
It's nice.
Like,
it's nice for Taysom to run.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. So, and we think that we think he'll have another really good game, right?
No, I do. I think that he'll be the player of the game.
Okay. So last thing I want to talk about and a concern I have with this game is I don't like it when teams are really amped up and gearing for BYU.
No. It seems like
generally we lose those games. I just feel like TCU, as soon as Gary Patterson learned after they joined the Mountain West, TCU learned that they needed to beat BYU in order to win the conference. And from there on, we were always circled on their schedule.
Yeah.
Kyle Whittingham has made it the most important game of the year for his team to beat BYU, right? And they've been very effective at it. And I just think that I get nervous because of the things I've been reading all summer and in the last week about the way Texas is preparing for BYU versus the way BYU is preparing for Texas. Now, don't be fooled. BYU is preparing very hard. They're going to play hard and be aggressive. But I'm a little nervous that when, for whatever reason, other teams seem to have a higher gear than BYU can find.
The only retort I would say to that is that I think in the Mountain West Conference days, every Mountain West Conference team we played, we were their circled opponent. You know, I think San Diego State, the Wyomings, the UNLVs, but we didn't care because we were better than them. But Texas is no
right.
UNLV.
Well, no, we would kill to have some of their athletes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just absolutely murder for those.
Yeah.
I would murder.
Whoa. But yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. I think, though, rhetoric only goes so far. And again, I've said this a million times. If we come out and we start strong, if we punch them in the mouth, if we score on our first drive, all of a sudden all this talk about how they're going to pay back BYU and how they were embarrassed and things have changed, and all of a sudden that just bravado goes out the window and we're playing ball. And so that
early start's huge for you. You keep putting that first quarter is going to get be the
that's
indicator
gonna tell.
For everything.
If we get down early, then I am going to just already start having the tears start coming.
Last thing I want to talk about on this, and then it's time for 10 for Tosh. What about field position? I'm nervous BYU didn't have a kick go across the 5 yard line on kickoff at all. Texas and BYU. I mean, teams that have better field position tend to score more. But Texas had 7 drives begin from their 36-yard line, their own 36 or better. And in those 7 drives, they had 4 trips to the red zone, 3 touchdowns, a missed field goal. They also fumbled it away. And then they ended up punting twice on that.
Does every fan base feel like they have great nerves whenever they see the special team on the field? I don't know, but I know as a BYU fan,
Florida,
I do.
Florida State's kicker is amazing.
Whenever it doesn't matter what the special teams unit is, I just don't feel that confident with any of our special
Arlano,
teams.
Again, Arlano was slow on punts. We saw that last year, and we called it after the game one that he was slow on punts, and we got blocked.
Yeah.
He's slow on punts. If I was a defensive – if I was a special teams coach at Texas – I'd be like, we've got to go after that guy because he absolutely
and he
is
shanks,
slow.
He seems to shank one a game.
Yeah.
He has some good punts occasionally, but yeah.
The other thing I want to say is they also had 6 drives begin from their own 35 or worse, so worse than that, right? So about half of them were better than 35, their own 35 or better. Half of them were 35 or worse. They got 21 points out of the ones that were closer, right, and 10 points out of the other one. So all I'm saying is they, you know, it's harder to score when you've got longer to go. And I think with especially a case with this Tyrone Swoops, I think kick out off coverage is going to be gigantic in this game.
Amen. And what about field goals? Do you think that BYU takes any field goals that are longer than 30 yards?
Let me ask you a question. Yes, I they do if it's the first half. But if it's the second half, it's you know what? Actually, scrap all that. It just all depends on time, score, and field position. That's it.
But I think our scope of when we would feel comfortable is a heck of a lot more narrow than the average Division I team.
Now, Texas's kicker's not great either.
Good.
So this, he missed a field goal, and it was a chip shot just like BYU's. So I just think, kicking isn't really in the advantage of either team, although Texas seems to be able to at least kick theirs into the end zone. All right. Well, I don't know. Special teams is the one part, right, that can just swerve any game, right? If BYU can get a solid special teams performance, I think we'll be okay. But by that, I'm not talking about kickoff returns or punt returns. I'm talking about coverage.
Yeah.
Coverage on these things.
We're just looking, yeah, for us to have a good special teams game at this point clean. Is for us not to screw up.
Just clean. Just yeah. be clean out there. Also, if the other team kicks it out of bounds, Bronco Mendenhall, take it. Take
I like his confidence in Hine, but it didn't work. Like, I think, yeah, if it's kicked out, just take the penalty.
BYU, I think when they started past their own 35-yard line, I think they scored every time, or they had a turnover, right? But mm-hmm. it's like, anyway, field possession is huge. And now it is time for 10 for Tosh. All right, 10 for Tosh. 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. These are not simply your opinion. Tosh is going to give you what is going to happen. And he did it really good last week. Anyway, all right, here we go. Tosh, number one, which Texas injury will matter more? The quarterback David Ash's concussion or the center Dominic Espinosa's ankle?
Dominic Espinosa's ankle. That's the bigger loss, especially because we're having Marquise Johnson come back, our best nose tackle. I feel like that really changes how we can control the defensive line.
Number two, Texas's offensive line, as previously stated, has a combined 15 starts. How many sacks will BYU have against this new, inexperienced group?
I'm going to go high here, and I think that this – I'm thinking between four or five, but let's go five sacks. Mm. And my reason why is because he has Swoops has a slow release. He's a big guy. He's not scared of pressure, and I think he'll try to scramble away from it, and that's going to lead to more sacks.
With the size, though, of this Swoops, don't you feel like he can shrug off a couple guys? Maybe it won't be smart to be corner blitzing him.
Yeah, I mean, if you hit a guy on the hips, he'll go down. The other side of things is that Bronson Kafusi really looked like he was tough to block in his new position where he just rushes. It seemed like against UConn they were throwing it 1 second before he got there. I just have the feeling that he's going to get there a couple times and that he's for sure big enough to bring Swoops down.
All right, well, for sure. Absolutely. just overall for the game, I feel like this is going to be one of those games where I say, hey, defense, square up and wrap up. Please. Okay. No arm tackles, right? Wrap this guy.
Yeah, for sure. These guys are beasts.
Number three. BYU returns running back Jamal Williams. Cornerback Robertson Daniel. Cornerback Jordan Johnson. Wide receiver Devon Ashanti Blackman. And defensive tackle Marquise Johnson. Which of these people returning from suspension will have the biggest impact on Saturday?
You got to go Jamal. I already mentioned how Marquise will have an impact. Robertson Daniel's a contender in my mind too, but Jamal, I think, is going to play angry. He is dynamic. He makes their first guy miss on the read option. They can't just focus in on Taysom or he will kill them. Like, I really think that Jamal is going to have a fun game.
Behind Scott Arlano, the fastest player on the team is probably Devon Blackman.
Yeah.
And if you are new to the show, that's an inside joke between Tosh and I. But anyway, and listeners. But anyway, Devon Blackman's very fast. If one of the problems was passing downfield was that we weren't getting open, maybe we can get open with him.
Agreed. I think that hope is there, but he has proven nothing on a big stage. And so part of me is worried that this game is on such a huge stage that anything he does, I look at it as just gravy.
With the importance that pace of play and who controls how the game goes out will have, question number four. BYU had 1 3-and-out, which is, of course, murder when you go fast and go hard against UConn. How many 3-and-outs will BYU have in Austin?
You know,
That's going to be real tough on the defense, too, with how deliberate and slow the Longhorns
will have some. I'm going to go 3. I still think our offense plays well. But I don't think 3 3-and-outs over the course of the game is that crazy, and I think that's how many we'll have.
It's crazy if we don't get the ball that much. That's really bad if we don't get the ball.
It just depends. Yeah, so much of it depends. If we're getting them to 3-and-outs too, then it doesn't really.
Right. Yeah. Right on. Okay, number five. Taysom Hill had 5 rushes. That's right, 5 rushes that went over 20 yards against Texas last year in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. How many 20-plus yard rushes will Taysom have this time around?
I think he's going to have a solid running game, but I'm going to go only 1 over 20. Their defense is not going to let him do that. I think he's going to have kind of more of a rushing game like against the Houstons, where he was getting pretty consistently 8 to 10 yards and just hurting their will, but not that he broke the huge one where he's running away from everybody.
Do you think they're going to be do you think they're going to do like everyone else and still assume that he can't throw and just we can't let the guy with the knee brace run all over us again this time? Stack the box, take away the run, force Taysom to pass.
Yes. I think that they would rather make him hit them with his arm because they know that he can beat them with his legs.
They've learned that very well. To the tune of 550 rushing yards.
Insane.
By the way, you're welcome, Texas fans. I know you guys were getting tired of Mac Brown. We were the harbinger that allowed you to get rid of him. So, anyway. Okay, number 6. What will be the distribution of rushes between the BYU running backs? How many will they have?
I'm gonna say total carries 26. Let's go 26.
26 by running backs.
Yes.
Okay.
And Jamal has 16 of those.
Okay.
And then Lasique has 8. And I don't think Adam Hine has any, and Algernon Brown has 6.
Yeah, your math is off.
Did I not say 28?
You're up to 30, I think.
I thought that was 28, so either way.
No, yeah, you're at 28. You're right. You're at 28. But you initially said 26.
Okay, right. Well then let's take 1 each from Algernon and from Lasique.
Anyway, don't do math while trying to talk into a live mic. Okay, that's my problem too. We both screwed up there. 16 rushes, is that enough from Jamal, you think?
Maybe he'll have more. I think that's probably accurate. 20 is a good over-under, I think, for him, and I think he's going to be pretty close to 20.
I like it, though. I like it when he gets 20 or more. That's just me. Okay, number 7, this is about quarterback Tyrone Swoops. Will he have more rushing attempts or passing attempts?
This one's a tough one. In high school, for both years, he ran for a lot more touchdowns and yards. In watching him play last year, he really is really comfortable just figuring out a way to run the ball. So I'm going to go that he's going to have more rushes than he is passes.
I agree. Number 8, the deepest pass completion for Taysom Hill against UConn was 30 yards. What will be his deepest pass completion against the Texas Longhorns?
You want the yards?
Yeah.
I think he's going to have one for, with pass and catch, 45 yards.
You want to predict a route on it?
It's going to be deep post.
Yeah, so he threw 2 posts. He didn't throw a single streak the entire game, so...
And I think we'll throw it deep more. It was weird. We heard all offseason that they were going to throw it deep so much more.
Go hard, go fast, go long.
And then their only deep ball with Kobe Pearson for 30 yards, but it was underneath the coverage.
Right.
Like it wasn't even over the top. I think we'll test a few passes over the top this game.
Number 9, do you believe in life after love?
Yes. I do believe in life after love.
Okay, question 10. What will be the Sunday morning headline in the newspaper following the game?
I think it will be Hill, Williams stampede the Longhorns.
I like it. Wow, stampede.
I think that...
You don't think it'll be something about again? If you think BYU wins...
You know, it could be.
Stampede the Longhorns again.
Yeah.
Can I throw the word again on
sure.
the end?
Because I think that Taysom and Jamal will have 100-yard-plus rushing games. So that has to be the headline.
And there it is. 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. Well done, sir. That was a good effort by you. And hopefully it turns out to be just as accurate as it was last week. And now it's time for our next segment, and it's really important that we cover this one. Tosh, why do we hate the Texas Longhorns?
So I got a couple reasons. One of which is that we know that they kind of own and control the Big 12. They call the shots. Why have we not been invited to the Big 12?
Come on, you send your students to our online schools. You come to us for all the advice in the world about how to run a TV station on your campus.
Yeah.
We've hooked you guys up.
And we don't get an invite. Why did TCU, why did West Virginia, like Bush League, we should have gotten invited.
Oh, because of that huge media market found in Morganstown, West Virginia.
Yeah, they really had to add TCU to their market that they already owned. Like, yeah, that's reason number one for me. Reason number two,
we dropped 50 boxes in 50 states across the country. They were found within the hour every time.
Exactly.
National fan base.
Reason number two to hate. They fired their coach because they lost to BYU. They fired their defensive coordinator right after they lose to BYU.
As if it's so unacceptable.
Yeah, the whole talk all offseason is, how could we lose to BYU? The white guy with the knee brace running all over. Like, I still feel like, even though we kicked their butts, they still look down upon us. Like, they're so embarrassed they lost to BYU. We need to go out there and just crush them again and just show them and the world it was not a fluke.
Absolutely. At the same time, Tosh, can we really hate somebody that we consistently own in football and basketball?
That's a good point.
I mean, come on. I mean, we beat them. Even when we lose to them, it's a game we should have won. Beyond that,
we had Heaps as our starting quarterback.
Heaps was our quarterback, and we almost won. Are you kidding me? Here's the thing beyond that. Here's another reason to hate. We left Austin last time, 1-point loss, and everybody in Cougarland was sitting there going, how did we lose that game? That's a game we should have had.
Yep.
To the point that it was driving us all crazy enough that we asked Coach Mendenhall about it at his Q&As, and it bothered Mendenhall enough that he lashed back at his boosters by calling them Pharisees and Sadducees. That's the darkest timeline, Bronco. We don't want to see that. So, listen, they got to go there. They got to get this game. You can't just watch the game, folks. You need to hate the opponent. You need to find a way to get upset if the Cougars end up losing this game. And so those are the CougarCast reasons to hate the Texas Longhorns. We didn't even bring up their jingoistic feelings about their own state.
No, which is rare.
Which is why most people don't like Texas.
Yes.
Anyway. All right, so there it is. Our reason to hate the Texas Longhorns. But you know what, Tosh? After all that hate, you know, I can't live like that for that long.
Okay, that's probably good.
You know, it just in your heart, you can't have those things going on. So one of the things, though, as being a BYU fan, one of the exciting things if you're down in the area of Austin, Texas, is that you don't only get to be your bloodthirst for watching football, that gets satiated. But beyond that, you get spiritually fed when the Cougars come to town. And Bronco is going to give his fireside talk. And something you guys may not know, you may know it too, but we actually know, have a source. And unlike everybody else's source, mine's real.
And we're so at predicting the outcomes of these games, but we're 100% at predicting 100%. The outcome of these fireside
100%.
Talks.
100%. And so now I am, spoiler alert for anyone going to the fireside, but here's what Bronco's fireside talk will be. Thank you for coming out, Bronco. I can't. Can anyone do a Bronco Mendenhall impression?
No. Just use your normal voice.
I'll just use my normal voice. As we know, Bronco, he's in tune with the spirit. And one of the things that he does is he wants to really focus his message to what he thinks that region needs. There's been a lot of talk about this game down there in that region, and I think Bronco, I think knowing what the title of the talk is, I think it's appropriate. So Broncos Fireside Talk is actually entitled Vengeance Belongs to the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people wanting revenge down there right now.
I think it's really appropriate, and I think it will soften the hearts of the Texans down there, and they'll start feeling a bit better. So there it is. You'll expect that, and then, of course, then after that, it's time for... All right. So there you go. Broncos Fireside Talk, and a huge game. Okay, now, Tosh, we've talked about what we expect, what we think might happen. It is time to make our predictions.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
All right. So I've thought about this quite long and hard, and I think that we are going to have a BYU victory again against a big team. I'm going to be down there. And so I'm going to be in heaven if this happens. But I really feel like 31 points for BYU, 24 points for Texas. That score makes it seem closer than it is, that we're up 14 and they score kind of late to make it somewhat close, and we win 31-24.
Wow. You're loving it.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, listen, before the season, I predicted BYU would start 1-2 because, of course, that's what they always do. And weirdly, the one game of the first three that I always kind of felt a little optimistic about was this Texas game.
Which is strange.
And I have no idea why. I've always kind of had this feeling like, I feel... Now, just that feeling makes me go, well, then that means that I'm off.
Okay.
Being a sports fan is a complicated thing. Let's talk identity once again, Tosh. I don't think Texas has one. They're going to be busy figuring out an identity against the BYU Cougars. You can't be busy screwing around and figuring out who you are when you're playing against BYU, right? BYU is a tough team. They are physical, they're aggressive, and a lot of the conversation around that Texas group has been about how hard and how tough and how physical those guys were and how much pain they felt after the game. So to be trying to figure out what you are, what you're doing, what set you like, and it's game two with this new coach. Bronco does good against coaches in their first year at a new program. Kind of like the Cougars.
So let's hear the score.
Like the Cougars. Now, here's the problem. I also feel that under Bronco, there has been a ton of games when you feel like you've got a good team. Reminds me of 2006. They went to Boston College after opening the season with a great win against Arizona. They went to Boston College. They lost that game, and that's a game they should have had.
Yeah.
They lost it because of kicking. Jared McLaughlin had missed two field goals in that game. They lost in overtime. I'm kind of getting the same vibe. I feel like this is going to be a game that BYU fans will look back in agony and look at it as a missed opportunity. I got the Longhorns. I got them 21, BYU 17.
All right, let's hope you're wrong. The funny thing, though, about this game, and I said my honest prediction, but I don't think there's an outcome that would shock me. If Texas wins big, I could make sense of that in my mind.
I can't. I think a Texas blowout would be surprising.
I would be I somewhat surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked. And if it's a close game, I expect it to be relatively close. But if BYU blows them out, I can make sense of how that happened too. Like, this is a very interesting game in that regard to me.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you can expect anything. It's must watch. 5:30 in Provo, Utah. I know what will be happening at my house. Glued to the TV.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I've never been to a football facility like this. Me and some family and friends are going down there, and
you're going to be at Royal Stadium.
Yeah, I hope there's a lot of BYU fans.
I think there's going to be.
Yeah, we have a lot in Texas. I went to the Houston game last year, and I was really surprised and pleased with how many fans we had down there. So, it should be. Hopefully, it is one of the weekends of a lifetime for me. Then next week, if we win, I think I'll return a report about that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, on the way home from the studio to your home, you're going to just be listening to the Beach Boys, Wouldn't It Be Nice?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Whole time. If you have any reactions to the game, post-game, call the show. We now have a voicemail line. You can call up 512-8-BYU-WIN. I can't figure out what those numbers are, but it's 512-8-BYU-WIN. Call it in. Leave your voicemail. If it's awesome, it'll be on the show.
And we'll play some of those live. And if the audio's not great on yours or you're dry, then maybe we'll just respond to it in word form. But either way, we'll get back to you if you call in.
We'd love to hear that. Follow us on Twitter. See us on Vanquish the Foe. And the biggest thing is watch BYU on Saturday. Cheer your little hearts out. Have a great time. Go Cougars.
Let's go.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!